Okay, good morning. We have a lot of good things going on today. I hope your day is going well. I love the worship this morning in terms of bowing down and worshiping before the Lord. I encourage us to take more of a physical aspect in your worship too. There are no rules now. Don't get me wrong. There's no rules on this. You don't have to be kneeling to pray and to worship. You don't have to be bowing down in order to have an effective worship. But every once in a while, it does good for your soul. It's a reminder of the real kingliness and the royalty of God. I mean, they do that in other countries, in bowing before the kings and the queens and things like that. So, I mean, how much more so should we every once in a while? It does you good. Those of you who have the physical ability, lay down on the floor on your face with your arms out and your legs out behind you. Just lay flat on the floor and praise Him and worship Him. When you have trials and troubles, get down into that low position before a great King. It really is an awesome experience. And yet, I'm not trying to encourage just emotions here. God doesn't want you to just feel holy. He wants you to be holy. And you do that by crucifying your flesh and letting His Spirit within to rule and to reign. And well, I want to talk a little bit today about, Carolyn, would you focus that a little bit more for me? I'm sorry. Either that or my eyes are really bad. It's really hard because when I start focusing things, it might not be for the good of everything. I think that's, there you go. We ought to have one of the younger ones do that. Make sure it's nice and clear.
Yeah.
And
is that clearer?
Yes.
If you want to put a shot at this, is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Excuse the interruption for those that are listening on the website, but we just had a little technical difficulty here. So, but what part do you play in the body of Christ, giver or taker? Now, I want you to look. Oh, excuse me. I do have a handout for you to follow along, and those of you who are listening can follow along with that. Just so you get some of the comments that we're making here and some of the questions that we're posing. Which questions do you ask? I remember years ago, and some of you are old enough and many of you are not, you just read about this in a history book, but President John Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And I remember as a young girl, I was just a young teenager, when he spoke those things. But I remember hearing it, and I was so, I already was a, you know, kind of a compassionate, giving person. I come from a servant heart family and that kind of thing. But so many of the young people in our country were really stirred. And that's when the Peace Corps was started, and a giving back to your community. And it just was a real stirring of that. And God is crying out the same question to us today. And he's not saying not only just what are you going to do for our absolutely wonderful country. Well, his question is, are you a giver or a taker for him or others? Are you getting up every day and saying, with that basic tenet in your heart, ask not what I can do for myself, but ask what I can do for God. What is it I can do for others? If that's not part of who you are, you may want to kind of meditate on that a little bit. The broken Adam nature that we all have inherited always leans to itself. That's part of the brokenness. It's separated from God. Adam's disobedience caused a separation from God, just like God said. And that separation from God meant that God was not first anymore. There wasn't a thirsting and a hungering after the ways of God. The holiness, the cleanliness, the wisdom, that all went away in terms of being first. It doesn't mean that someone without God inside of them can't do good works. Of course they can. There's many a soul in a false religion or an atheist or a pagan follower or whatever that does good works. They feed the poor, they build an orphanage, they have a fire in their heart to help others. But that's on a lower level, because that unfixed nature can only love so much, only until they get ticked off, only until they run out of money. There's no miracle in their life. There's no power of God surging through them. So that broken Adam nature, and we talk about this a lot because we have to understand its power in us. Now, when you come to Jesus Christ, it is not a religious experience. It's a relationship experience.
That's right.
And if all you have ever had is a religious experience, you need to go back to the Lord and get in His presence and say, God, I think I've only been attending church. I think I've only done what my mom or my dad told me. I think I've only gotten caught up in a program. I feel good when they play the music. I like to go Meals on Wheels. I like to help with Vacation Bible School. All well and good, but have you established a relationship with God through Christ? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins in a very real manner? Forgive me. I'm wrong. You're right. I want what Jesus did to apply to me. Come inside me. Dwell in me. And also be my Lord. Everybody wants a Savior. No one wants a Master. Everybody wants their fanny kept from hell, but nobody wants to have someone that actually tells them what to do and get a revelation, people. What God is going to tell you to do in leading at your life, in your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds, in your actions, in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, it is going to be in utter conflict with that broken Adam nature. So get used to the battle. There is no battle when it's only the Adam nature. I had no battle. Before I came to know the Lord, I was out there doing whatever all the young people do. When I was young, and now I'm old. But I had a meeting of my mind and will and emotion. I had a little board meeting. My mind, will, and emotions got together and go, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Yeah, me either. No, we vote to go ahead and do that. All the foolishness, all the disobedience, all the impurities, all the things were of the lower level. And if you stay in that, it's going to get lower and lower and lower. It's going to get down to dog level, animal responses, pure lusting after whatever you want, when you want, who you want, etc., etc. It's creeping into our society more and more all the time. Well, how do we get around this? How do I do this, Lord? I want to be a giver, not just a taker. I want to do that. You do that by asking the Lord into your heart and then letting Him lead you. It's a long journey. I'm still fighting things. I still have impatience and anger, and there are certain things that are just, they just get me. Pride can get you. All these things, I don't care what you're dealing with. Unforgiveness. Sometimes not forgiving yourself is huge. It's a stumbling block. But all of the stuff that is wrong, that is lower level, that is not going to lead to the successes God talks about, spiritually and physically, are because we lean more to the Adam nature. The only way what I'm going to talk about today is going to work is if you are cognizant, if you are aware in that battle of life, that you're going to lose mightily if you let the Adam nature rule. It has to be a conscious effort. A conscious effort. God, I want Your Spirit to rule. I submit. Oh boy, do we hate that word. I submit to You, God. I don't care whether You're husband or wife. I submit to You. I want. I volunteer. I want Your ways to come out of me. I don't want the lesser nature. The only way you're going to be a giver instead of a taker is if you really let God rule in you. Now, some of our lives are really screwed up. We're in financial messes. We're in relational messes. We're in business messes. And I always say, if you're tired of your life being in such a mess, quit running it. We're trying to do God's stuff with an Adam nature. It's never going to work. It's sort of like trying to haul something all and carrying it versus putting it on a dolly. Oh, a doll? Let God be the one who carries your burden. He will make it right. It doesn't mean you get out from underneath problems. It means that we live on a cursed earth and a cursed body, so you have to be faced with these challenges. We are not complete till we're there with Him. But it doesn't have to be this doldrums existence. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. You can do so much in the Lord. He can restore you to a high level of health. He can give you mental sanity. He can give you emotional stability. He can give it to you, but He will not jam it down your throat. This has to be, I am open. Take the cap off your heads and let Him pour in. Well, what's the cap? The cap is anger and animosity and unforgiveness and disobedience and pride. All of these things. Say, God, please, I keep putting that cap back on, but I give you permission. Please, Lord, take that off. And when I say, oh, that's kind of bold. You know, who do you think you are? You give God permission. Yes, you have to give God permission because He says, I will never force myself on you. He says, I stand at the door and knock. You got to answer. He will not. He doesn't keep the key in His shoe where He knocks it down. He will not make you be saved. He will not make you let Him come in. That would be spiritual rape. He will not forcibly enter you at all. Lay your life down. Put it up. I mean, the Old Testament is full of the word pictures to tell us what He really means. Lay your life on the altar of sacrifice. Now, God has different directions for all of us. Some people have died as martyrs. I don't volunteer for that. Oh, please. I can hardly get a sports massage without screaming, ow, ooh, oh. My massage therapist knows I have the military connection. She said to me, never get captured. I mean, I know. My commander's name is this. There's 400 troops and they're over here 5 months. Yeah. I mean, some people are martyrs. I don't volunteer for that. None of us do. Some people have suffering lives with cancer. Some people just have lost. I'm just absolutely amazed. Some of our best Christian songs have come from people who came out of the darkness. They lost their wife. They lost their children. They lost their home. They were disfigured in a fire. I mean, just like, what? I heard a man speak one time. He was a pilot and his plane crashed, and he was terribly disfigured. He still is, even after many operations today. And he's not shaking his fist at God. He said, God, I never would have volunteered for this. But because of my disfigurement, it causes such a shock. I get people's attention and I can tell them about you. Oh, gee, I didn't think of that, God. God says, I know, because you're all takers. You want comfort. You want everything fixed immediately. You got your life screwed up over 40 years. I always say, give God at least that long to undo it. Now, He doesn't work in our time frames. I thank God. But there's always going to be that tension because He's a timeless God up there, and He's not bound by any clock. And we're down here time-bound. I mean, I got a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday on my schedule. I have stuff in my calendar that goes out a couple years. Golly. And it's always time-bound. I was a little bit late getting here, and I had to text her. I said, I'm sorry, I was praying with someone and sharing some things, and then I have to stop by and get the mail for the church. And I said, and God says, stop. Live fully within what is happening at the time. Now, God doesn't, now, folks, that doesn't mean show up here, you know, in the middle of service or after it's finished or whenever you happen to get here. No, I mean, we do have time frames. I mean, you know, if you go to work, don't go to your boss and go, I'm living in the flow of the Lord. I didn't get here till 10. I'm supposed to be here at 7. You know, I think you might be fired. And then you got another problem to deal with. Oh, God, put your flow through me. So you understand what I'm saying? The basis and the understanding and the foundation of what we have to do before we go any further is to understand that it's God's Spirit in you that's going to do what you desire to do. It's God's Spirit that's going to give you that ability to forgive, to love, to be steadfast, to get to understand the scripture. Everything, any counsel you give someone that's worth anything, that is effective in changing their lives, has not come from you because we are broken and stained. It's when we willingly put that nature aside and let God's flow come through us that we are the effective doers of the word. Now, Paul struggled with this. And he cried out in Romans 7. And he cried out and he said, God, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And the things I really want to do, I don't do. Who shall save me from the body of this death? He cried out. I thank God, because I was going through the same thing when I first came to know the Lord. I was crying out the same thing. I said, God, I am so scared. I'm going to die right in the middle of one of my sins. And I'll be in hell. What am I going to do? Help me, God. Help me, God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to offend you. But this stuff is still strong in me. I thank God, because I happened to open the scriptures just to that point. And it told me about Paul, who had the same struggle. I went, oh. And then Romans 8, the very first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, thank you. I kind of like forgot that. Now, that doesn't mean you can go out and do what you want just because you got Lord in your heart. If you think that way, it's probably pretty much guaranteed you don't have him in your heart. You just might have said some words. You might have gone up to some altar someplace. But if you think you can go out and sin because, oh, good, now I can go do what I want. I actually heard someone say that one time. I was teaching up one of our local colleges here years ago. I was teaching nursing because I was in nursing at the time. And I remember one of the professors was standing on a stairwell. I'll never forget this. And there were like a dozen students listening to him speak. It was in between classes. And he was talking about, he said, this is nothing against Baptists or anything. He just happened to say, go be a Baptist, because when you get saved, that means you can go out and do all the sins you want. He says, I go out drinking and carousing around and playing around and all this stuff. He says, but I'm going to get to heaven. And I remember thinking, what is he saying? This is the same God we serve. Why is God telling me a different message? Why is God telling me that I have to put away all impurity? Why is it that God says I need to be strengthened by his spirit and someone else is teaching this? That's why you've got to know the truth, not belief systems. You've got to know what's true.
That's right.
There's 1,000 denominations and 1,000 religions and 1,000 non-religions. If you're seeking peace, you'll probably end up with some Eastern meditation type religion. If you're looking for fellowship, you're probably going to end up attending some big fat church someplace that has every program for every part of your life. What in the world has that got to do with you and Jesus Christ? Buckle down. Make sure you really. Now, you don't have to do this 10 times. When you have that experience with the Lord and he comes into your heart, you don't have to get resaved every day. No. I'm just saying, reflect on him. Make sure you have his spirit in you and not just some belief system, and then let him flow in regards to that. Now, the Christian walk, now, whether you're paid or a volunteer, you're very important. You're an important part to the full function of God's work on earth. Do not just look to me as a teacher or a pastor. Do not just look to Mark as our senior pastor and just say, okay, well, that you guys were called to do God's function. Baloney. Every single one of us is called. God just happened to put me in this position. There's no difference between me and you. The only difference between me and you is I'm standing right now and you're sitting. I have the same struggles. I have the same powerful Adam nature that I gotta crucify every day. I don't get some special pass because God called me to teach. You don't get some special pass because you have more kids than the next one. You know, you got 5. Yeah, you're doing pretty good. My mom and dad had 9. They didn't get a special pass. But guess what they got? What does God say you get? To those that need more mercy is given. You're covered by a grace factor in God. So even though you might have worse things going on in your life, don't sit down there and moan over it. Because that great God who is in you can supply your every need. Now, some people keep thinking that means a car and a home. We have needs that are emotional needs and physical needs. He's talking about the wholeness of each one of us as a person. You need to bring that wholeness to God. Wow, powerful. And this, as we said before, the whole idea behind the Christian walk is to not have some religion to run to in time of trouble. Unfortunately, the Christians have been some of the worst examples of how to live a life before Christ. pastors running off with the secretaries and embezzling the money and pouring massive amounts of luxuries upon themselves in the face of drug addiction, alcoholism, hungry children within a mile of their $10 million facility. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't use the largeness of a church. No, he has called some as administrators. He has called some as directors and leaders and music people and youth people. No, sometimes he's going to pull them all together. Those that are godly are going to magnify Jesus Christ in every single thing. And they're going to take any funds that come in and use them absolutely wisely. And not to consume it upon themselves. I love it. With Billy Graham. Humongous evangelistic society that was developed out of the call that God put on his life. And he told his board, they kept wanting to pay him and pay him. He goes, no. He would only take a salary that was like $60,000 or something ridiculous. He bought his own cars. He paid for his own stuff. I think as time went on, inflation, whatever, I think they forced him to take like $110,000 or something. You know, it was like, and his millions are coming into his organization, and he has insisted that it go back to the orphans, that it go back to the missionaries, that it go into the local churches in our communities, that it go for giving out information and videos, and all this stuff costs money. I mean, even your little handout today, that costs the church some money. I mean, every time you donate here, it's not just for something fancy. It's to keep the ministry going. It pays for our website. It pays for our publications. It pays for me to work full-time here. Now, God has not called me to return to any of the careers that I've given up. He might call you out of yours. I don't know what he's going to do, but whatever he does, if it's him, he is going to provide. I'm a living, walking miracle in terms of that provision. So God doesn't want you running to religion. He doesn't want some mumbo-jumbo mystic out there having comfort you in the storm. No way. This Christian walk is just that. It's a walk in Jesus Christ. Whoa. What was the old saying from, Gandhi? The Indian leader Gandhi? He said, your Christ I love, it's your Christians I have a problem with. Well, I have to remind people, I'm not following Christians. If they fall, that's their business. I'll pray for them, help them get up if I am near them and they're in my area of responsibility. I'm following Christ, so stop looking at the Christians. They're not the ones we follow.
Yeah.
But God does say to admonish and to help and to pray for one another. And we talked about God being in us. You can't be a part of that. We talked about that earlier. And what's he doing all this for? So that all of his body, whether you're the eye, the mouth, the ear, the hands, I mean, you know, this our body parts all have different, has anyone noticed, they all have different functions. You know, and if you don't have all your body parts, you're going to have some dysfunction. There's some people that have to, their liver isn't working, so they have to have all sorts of helps and medications and different diets and stuff like that. Some people, their pancreas isn't working. Some people, their thymus isn't working. Some people, their stomach isn't working. Their intestinal tract isn't working. Some people have enzymatic problems and endocrine problems. I mean, some people have lost a leg. I mean, on your own body, if you don't have all the parts there and in their full functioning, you're going to feel it. So God doesn't want his body out of joint. That's why he wants us to come before him, each one of you individually, not just through the church, each one of you individually to come to the fullest function that you possibly can, because some are still going to be handicapped. They're going to walk with a limp, so to speak, and whatever, spiritually. God's not looking for everyone to be some perfect whatever. He's, I'm going to take you as you are. Let me form you and shape you. I will bring you to your highest level of function. Because he wants the body of Christ, which is all of the people, to be holy, sanctified, and for his good use. Right here in our own little body, I'm so grateful for our precious little church. I'm so grateful for the outreach that we have out into the community. The members that are served in the community are even larger than the numbers that are served here. God has just worked out a marvelous way. It's absolutely unbelievable. But if we're out of joint, if we're arguing with each other over what color to paint the ladies' room, what kind of dysfunction is that? I praise God. Now, we have had some testy board meetings, I must tell you the truth. Five that God has called into the leadership here, and we've had a few testy, well, I don't think that's right. I don't want to do that. Who do you think you are telling me that? Oh, wait a minute. I thought you guys were like holy. When we have God's Spirit coming through us all the time, yeah, then we're holy. When any of us, little jab here, little dunk here, and some of this stuff, I'm telling you, you're not going to know what's in you unless you're willing to be filleted before God. I guarantee you're going to have arguments with your spouses. I guarantee you're going to have arguments with your children. You're going to have arguments with a neighbor. You're going to have something that's of aught, something that rubs you wrong. And if it never comes out your mouth, it's still going to be in your heart, because you can still smile at everyone and go, oh, God bless you. And inside, like, I want you to die today, you know.
That's just bad.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. See, God says, I know what's in your heart. He says, listen, I didn't come to abolish the law. So don't say God threw away everything. He didn't. He didn't come to abolish. He came to fulfill it, make it even fuller. He said, listen, the old law said you couldn't murder. I'm telling you, if you even have anger in your heart, it's just like murder.
Whoa.
Now, my Adam nature cannot obey what God just said. But the Spirit of God in me can, with a sweet flaw. So my choice is to fight that anger when it comes up. Fight that dissension when it comes up. In the other person? No. Who do I fight it in? Me. And when you're sitting there and this little argument's getting ready to explode, and every single one of us knows when that dragon starts to come up, when someone has pushed that button that has that dragon come up, what do? You made me angry. Nah, get your finger back in your pocket. Whatever's coming up in you, you get before God and say, God, what they're doing could be 10,000% wrong. But God, my feelings towards that, what's coming up in me is just as wrong. I can't help them except through prayer, but I can help me. Forgive me, God, for what's starting to rise up. Kill it in me now. I crucify that. I choose to not let that come up. I choose to not let that. Now, that might mean you're going to be a little quiet in an argument, because they might keep going, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. But if you're in there fighting this battle, guess what? You're either not going to say anything, which isn't going to put any fuel on the fire. Well, I got to get my half out, God. I got to get my opinion out there. He's got to hear what I have to say. She's got to hear what I have to say. These are not just her needs. These are my needs, too. What kind of a stinking attitude is that? Can you imagine if Jesus was saying that on the way to the cross? Wait a minute now, God. These bunch of jerks down here, they don't even pay attention to me. They pay no attention to the truth I've given you. I have healed them of their blindness. I have made them walk. I've even rose them from the dead. And the little creeps down here don't give me any honor at all. Forget this stuff. What about me, God? Jesus never did that. Why? Because he never had an Adam nature. He had all the Adam suffering. He had all the Adam lack and loss and pain. He had all the physical components that were there. But he was born by the Spirit and in the Spirit, not with an egg and a sperm. He was the planned event of God to save humanity from itself. We have wars not because of God. Babies die not because of God. You got to back this thing way up. Adam and Eve, when they were thrown out, it didn't take very long. Cain killed Abel. The first war.
Murder.
But evil, and what happened? Evil murdered the good. We see that story throughout all. Evil always comes against the good. But God says, have no fear. Good is going to win out.
Yeah.
So even in my own evil and good struggle, good is going to win out. But I need to practice putting away that which is evil. Oh, don't use the word evil in me in the same sentence. God says, I have to, because evil is in you. None, no one is righteous. No, not one. Only Jesus Christ. Now, the Christian walk, we got to make sure it's not all gimme, gimme, gimme. I want comfort. I want help. I want this. Yes, we do need to ask God. We need to surrender ourselves. We want to make sure it's not gimme, 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 but it's glory, glory, glory. All for God's glory. Now, I want us to take a look at Philippians 4, 7 to 9. I typed that out for you. You feel free, if some of you are more comfortable looking in your scriptures, go right ahead and open it up to that. But this is so powerful in terms of what we said. What a description of what God is telling us to do in terms of this holiness. He's setting the stage for you to be a giver, not just a taker. And it says in Philippians 4, 7 through 9, and the peace of God, what a great prayer, huh? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What you think and what comes up in the inner being. If you come to the Lord and let Him, His peace. So even if you have financial ruin, physical storm, no matter what it is, it doesn't mean you lay on your couch and let God do all the work. It means that you don't have to have that discomfort, that disarray, that chaos reign. You can have all of those things happen to you and have His peace on how to dig out from underneath it, how to get through it. And if God should require your life, your physical life, be willing to lay that on the line. I mean, there's a number of us in here who have been in the military. And some of us have been into war. And there's an old saying that's gone around for a long time. So when you go in the military, you actually sign a blank check to the United States. And it's made up for the value up to and including my life. Now, my perspective has changed since I was in the military. I love this country before I knew the Lord. But now I love it even more because I believe with all my heart. I don't want to say believe like belief system. But truly I know with all my heart that God formed and shaped this country and started it out from a Christian scriptural base with the intention that it would be a light on the hill, a city on the hill, that it would bring light to the world, that it would show how to do things in sharing and compassion and based on the foundations of God. My next book will hopefully be coming out in the fall. We haven't got our publisher yet, but we're working on that. It's the morality, stupid, not just the economy. Without the bribery, lies, and corruption, we have ample funds. We have ample brilliant people. We have ample strength and ability. But that's crept into the very soul of our country, our schools, our businesses, our churches. Whoa. Well, what can I do? I can't save the whole world. No, nope, that's God's job. But your area of responsibility, you can bring the power and the cleanliness and the wisdom, the purity, the work and the justice of God can certainly come there. Now what God says, continuing in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, that means good reputation. If there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Whoa. There's some people out there dealing with drugs and alcohol, dealing with all sorts of pornography, dealing with stealing, dealing with rape. I mean, these are thoughts and feelings within them. Angers and arguments and dissensions and factions and guilt and sadness and you know, revenge and unforgiveness. Wait a minute. Does any of that come under these parameters? These are the boundaries. This is the corral within which we can jump and skip and hop and leap and have a wonderful time. That's all he's saying. Write it down. Put it in your mirror. I might tattoo it on my arm. I don't know. Whatever. Now, don't freak out, anyone listening. I just said tattoo as an example. I'm not getting nuts here. Good grief.